few words about the liturgical functions of today. Today is the day when priests consecrate two hosts. That's why you have an extra chalice there at the altar. After the communion, the people's hosts, if there are any left, are consumed there by the priest. And only the second mass host remains, which is kept in the chalice. And after the mass has ended, the priest and the servers transfer the sacred host in the chalice to the altar repose. And there it will stay until noon, or until the liturgy of the Good Friday, the mass of the pre-sanctified, until tomorrow. And that's why we have also our all-night adoration today, so that you can come and spend your own hour with our Lord. Please stand, I'll read you the Gospel of today's Holy Thursday, which is taken from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 13. Before the festival day of the Pasch, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And when supper was done, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he came from God and goeth to God, he riseth from supper and layeth aside his garments, and having taken a towel, girded himself. After that, he putteth water into a basin, and began to wash the feet of the disciples, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He cometh therefore to Simon Peter, and Peter saith to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith to him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou shalt have no part with me. Simon Peter saith to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not but to wash his feet, but is clean wholly. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who he was that would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. Then after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, being set down again, he said to them, Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If then I, being your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so you do also. Thus were the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, the Gospel which you just heard describes the great love and also the great humility of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. After the Mass and the services and stripping of the altars today, we have our ceremony of washing of the feet. And the Latin name for that ceremony is mandatum, because that means commandment. As our Lord said, the new commandment I leave you to you, so that you might love each other as I have loved you. The ceremonies of Holy Thursday show us and remind us again so clearly that the very reason why Jesus came here on this earth was his great love towards us. We priests, we often talk about how evil and cruel and sinful the modern world is. And while it's certainly true, we should keep in mind, especially during these great ceremonies of the Holy Week, that even though we give many warnings to the modern men who should think more of God and less themselves, we also want to tell them about the great love of Jesus Christ. And truly, if God would not love us, we would have no hope whatsoever about the eternal faith of our soul. So the feast today, Holy Thursday, it is the feast of Holy Eucharist and of Holy Priesthood, because on this day Christ said the first Mass and also told his apostles to continue saying Mass after he has would be gone. But today's Thursday, it's also the feast of humility, if you can celebrate humility in a festive way. Humility is truly something which is in the most perfect sense in the person of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. He, God Almighty, he humbled himself, took the form of man, and not just any man, but the most despised man of his own time, somebody who would suffer cruel torture and passion throughout the whole night, and then on Good Friday would be put to cross and suffer their shameful and horrible death. Even the lowliest of the man would avoid and would be horrified of suffering a death and end like that. And God Almighty, he suffered that willingly out of love towards us. Our Lord's humiliation goes even further. Tonight on the all-night adoration, you can ponder and meditate that there in the tabernacle, in one simple host, is the one who is my maker, the one who loves me, and who has loved me throughout my whole life, even though I'm completely unworthy of this great love. On first Holy Thursday, when Christ said the Mass, he told the apostles to do some preparation. He wanted to his suffering and his last suffering to start, and the first Mass to be said in Jerusalem, the holy city of God. He there at the supper, they would be final time together, our Lord and his friends, the apostles. And during or before this great feast of the Blessed Eucharist, our Lord still humbled himself, not to the status of a savior, but now to the role of a servant. He wanted to wash his apostles' feet like a lowly servant would do for the rich master. He laid aside his garment, he took a towel, and our Lord then girded himself. He poured some water into a basin and began to wash the feet of his disciples and his friends. And when it became Peter's turn to have his feet washed, Peter was mortified. He asked, how should he, the great creator, his friend and savior, how should he wash the feet of the apostles? But our Lord warned Peter, if I wash thee not, thou shalt have no part with me. Our Lord, he wanted to do this humiliating and this servile task to his friends. He wanted to tell them that in order to be his good servants and enter into the kingdom of God, they need to be clean. He told them that whoever is washed, he needs to be clean wholly, namely that he doesn't need to be only externally healthy, only externally clean, but most of all, his soul must be clean. Mankind had suffered for thousands of years because of sin. Now would be the time for them to be redeemed from sin. and talking to his friends, our Lord said that you are clean, but not all. Namely, that even among his friends, the sin and betrayal had entered into heart of one of his friends, namely Judas Iscariot. His true friends were to imitate our Lord in humility. If they would be fruitful and good in their saving of souls, the apostles must first love these souls. And that's always when we think about our fellow men, whether they are our friends, whether they are our relatives, or whether they are complete strangers. If we want them to be saved, if we want their souls to be saved, we must first love them. And it is only if we truly love them that we can humble ourselves, show to our Lord to be a good and faithful servants, and not only try our best to save their souls, but also show him that we too want to be saved. This Pasch, Feast of the Pasch, which our Lord and apostles were now celebrating in Jerusalem, it would be the greatest feast of the whole Jewish year. But more than that, this Pasch was to be the last Pasch of the Old Covenant. Now our Lord would establish new and eternal covenant, or New Testament, as it is called. From being a member of the people of God through birth, to be born into certain nation, that covenant had now come to an end. And now our Lord established new covenant, which would not be based anymore on the birth on a nation, but that one would have been washed his soul clean in the waters of baptism. As I like to tell our school children, from the covenant of race, our Lord redeemed us to the covenant of grace. Dear faithful, this is a truly great day. So many wonderful lessons we learn from this liturgy and this day today, that we should truly think about them every day of the year. So often we are tempted to forget about God. So often we are so busy of doing earthly things, we tend to forget how much our Lord truly loved us, and that he loved us so much that he wanted to do everything possible which could take us into heaven. Of course, he will not draw us to heaven kicking and screaming. We must submit and humble our own will so that we might be his good servants and worthy apostles in our own home. We must therefore, throughout our whole lives, show the spirit of humility. But if we remember the great love of God, it is so much easier to show humility in this world. Nobody ever loved more than God. And in fact, God is not only most lovable thing that there is, he is love himself. And he's also humility itself. He's not some majestic, almighty, ever-ruling and cruel God, or a tyrant who likes to play with the fate of his subjects. Besides being king, he's also the savior. Besides being master, he's also loving servant. If we truly love God, how could we ever think of ourselves being anything else than a servant? Or if God would choose discipline us or send us little remindings to our life in the spirit or in the form of humiliations. How could we ever think that we deserve anything else than to be mortified and to be reminded about our sinfulness? Because it was because of love of God to us and the want to redeem us from our sins that he was sent here to be put to death for our sake. So on the final note of today's very, very holy day, we should learn that out of love comes the spirit of humility in every day of our lives until the last day of our lives. We should say humbly to God, "Dear Lord, I wish to do this, whatever is my share in life, out of love for thee." May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.